Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express. Regulators! Mount up!
It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Warren G was on the streets trying to consume some skirts for the E so I could get some phones rolling in my ride, chilling all.
There were some NFL teams definitely regulating this weekend, including going on right now, as once again, we're in that season again, battling Monday Night Football, not once, but twice tonight. Sean Boyd, what's going on, everybody? This is On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally here with the aforementioned Sean Boyd.
Yeah, man, it sounds like you are excited, and yes, this time of the year is a challenging time for the Double S, and we welcome it with open arms each and every Monday, coming at you with great sports talk against Monday Night Football. And for those of our listeners who are the faithful listeners, we thank you for joining in while you have your TVs turned down or maybe on one or two while you're watching Monday Night Football as we bring you the best sports talk in sports talk, Sean Wally. So,
well, come on, Sean. You know that we are more entertaining than the current game going on back in DC.
Yeah, well, you know, I've got a couple of players in fantasy league, man, and you know, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, and I mentioned fantasy league because today's show, man, we're going to be talking about something better than fantasy. I know a couple of weeks ago we did this. And I'm looking forward to having this guest on again in one Joseph McGinnis with United Games. For those of you who haven't heard, I mean, which you probably have been under a rock by now, if you haven't heard of United Games, man, this is the biggest thing that is going to be happening in interactive sports. So excited for him. But more importantly, Sean Wally, excited for Mr. Dave Worsley coming on the Double. And of course, Dave has been we could say he's a regular on the show, man, and vice versa. So, you know, Dave's been doing some great things abroad. We'll get to talk to him and see where he's been over the past few months. So, man, let's get this show started.
Of course, the NFL kicked off Thursday night with the Super Bowl rematch, the Panthers and the Broncos. The Broncos came away victorious, and then we could fast forward to what everyone cares about, and that is the rest of the games on Sunday. And of course, the majority of our listeners being in the Northern California and Bay Area, as well as the Pacific Northwest, everybody's smiling on Monday.
Yeah, you know, it was a great game that started on Thursday as we rewind. I mean, you talk about the defending Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos out of the AFC West. And then the NFC's Carolina Panthers, and this game, Sean Wally, did not disappoint, to be honest with you. I thought that the Carolina Panthers were really going to take care of business. I know that they had lost Josh Norman, but, you know, they had gained, you know, some strength back in, you know, pretty much everybody came back. And, you know, for the Denver Broncos, there was that big what if, you know, after losing to Osweiler and, of course, Peyton Manning retiring, so both their quarterbacks were gone from last year. The big question mark was, you know, could their quarterback produce? Could the Denver Broncos continue on? And, man, that was a great game to start out week one. And that seemed to be the premise for all of week one, as there were one-point games, two-point games, three-point games. Gosh, it was just an exciting weekend for week one in the NFL, Sean Wally.
And your Oakland Raiders doing great things down in the bayou. New Orleans and Drew Brees tried to put on the afterburners and got out to a decent lead, but the Raiders had no quit.
You know, the Raiders, man, you talk about, you know, we've been talking about this in the offseason, and people have said that this is a new team and they expect these guys to be good. It was shaky in the beginning, and I'll be the first to tell you that I had some doubts. You know, when they were down 14 points in the third quarter, you know, it hasn't been, you know, the Raiders' ammo as of the recent years to actually come from behind and win ball games, especially in a tough atmosphere like the Mercedes Superdome in New Orleans. And so, you know, when the Raiders actually took care of business and started marching down the field in that last drive, I can tell you this household was on pins and needles, but jumping up and down. And there were two key two-point conversions in the last two drives. And one was, the first one was completed by Amari Cooper. And then the second two-point conversion going for the win, Sean Wally. I mean, everybody in the NFL was, you know, I'm sure when you're at the Seahawks game and it was on the Jumbotron, everybody in the stadium was going, no way, there's no way in the world that these guys are going for two. And what a way to go for two when, you know, going to Michael Crabtree to get the W, man. And you talk about exercising a demon. You know, and what I'm talking about is when he was playing with the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl against the Baltimore Ravens, he had the chance to win. And he, you know, Colin Kaepernick missed him on that two-point conversion. And this was a way that Michael Crabtree got a chance to exercise those demons, got the two-point conversion, and the win for the Oakland Raiders. And the Raider Nation is ready for week number two. I can tell you that here in Northern California.
We've got a lot of NFL talk, including what's going on with this Raider victory and the thoughts on that two-point conversion. And, of course, the nail-biter in Seattle. But we've got to do some super technologically advanced items to go international here with On the Double and have a guest on from around the world. So we'll be right back after this. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Are you tired of the gym scene in Tri-Cities, Washington? Tired of seeing all those ridiculous gym selfies? If you are ready to work on a better you, Power Alley Performance is the place you can reach your goals. From one-on-one personal training to group fitness sessions, the trainers at Power Alley Performance will help motivate you every step of the way. Trainers DJ and Lamont have a wealth of knowledge and experience that they are ready to share with you. Call Power Alley today at 509-554-4785 and tell them the Double S Express sent you for a complimentary half-hour session. Visit poweralleyperformance.com.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Guys, are you tired of being tired? Frustrated because it seems impossible to lose belly fat? If you're looking for a solution, then listen to Mark.
I had fantastic results with the Andro 400 Max. Probably lost 35 pounds. And more impressive than that was the inches I lost off of my belly and my waist. And the increased energy is fantastic. I'll be totally honest. I tried a different product and I wasn't happy with the different product. You guys are considerably cheaper than the other brand, and I can really feel the difference.
Andro 400 Max, the extra strength, all-natural testosterone booster. The safe, easy, and affordable way to gain energy and lose stubborn belly fat. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Feel and look like a new man. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435.
888-400-0435.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. And we are attempting to connect with one Dave Worsley live from Rio. So as soon as we make that happen, you will know here on the Double. And Sean, before the break, we were talking your Oakland Raiders getting a victory in the Superdome in Louisiana, New Orleans to be exact. And you were talking exercising demons. You know, Coach Jack Del Rio, of course, looking like a king on Monday, going for two on the road. And that's what they say the adage is. You go for the win on the road, play for the tie at home, and he was not conservative, and the win worked out.
You know, I think one of the big reasons why...
Hello?
Dave, are you there?
Yeah, me. I am here.
Dave Worsley, all the way from Rio de Janeiro, journalist, radio man extraordinaire. You've been all over the globe. Whoa. Of course, your home base is New Zealand, and you have covered the Olympics, gone to the United States in New York to cover U.S. Open tennis, and now you're back in Rio for the Paralympics. You are a man all over this globe, Dave.
Yeah, that's right. And when you first tried to get through, I was actually interviewing one of the guys who had just made it through to the final. He'd beaten an American, the British man, Andy Lampthorne, who had just beaten David Wagner, who's a very well-known Paralympian wheelchair tennis player who's been around for a long time, and a bit of an upset there with the British player coming through in the end in a tough match there. So we've got wheelchair tennis just finished. It's about... 11:15 or thereabouts at the moment, and in Rio.
Now, Dave, as Sean had mentioned, you have put in your frequent flyer miles back and forth. So you've gone from Rio to the U.S. Open to back to Rio. Man, I mean, are you tired yet, or has it set in the euphoria of you putting in all these miles and seeing such great spectacles in sports?
Yeah, I know I've got just under a week remaining. Sunday is the final day of the Paralympics. That's Sunday the 18th of September. And after doing the Olympics, I was actually here on July the 14th, I think it was, or July the 15th, I can't really recall. Enjoyed the Olympics and enjoying the Paralympics. My two sports during the Olympics were the shooting, which was the first medal of the Rio Olympics, and it was actually won by a woman from America, Thrasher was her name, and she won the very first medal of the Rio Olympics, and it was presented to her by Thomas Bach, the head of the IOC, so a pretty good thing to be at there and to see her win that medal. And I also did the boxing, which was pretty amazing. Floyd Mayweather was there in the crowd at one stage, watching a couple of his young prodigies, and also we had... The Anthony Joshua, the world heavyweight champion, was there as well, watching some of his guys that he supports. So it was pretty big and pretty full on, and yeah, it was kind of fun. And going up to the U.S. Open for the qualifying and the first week of it before coming back down to the Paralympics as well. So yeah, as you said, yeah, a bit of frequent flyer points there, and also coming in from New Zealand, going back there. I don't know, I would have racked up those miles.
Now, Dave, you had mentioned you were covering boxing. Now, of course, you know, in professional boxing, you know, the bigger classes, the heavyweight classes are looking for some redemption. Now, are you seeing any good talent at all coming out of the boxing with the even the lighter weights?
Yeah, well, it was really interesting because, I mean, I've covered a reasonable amount of boxing. I actually like Olympic boxing more than professional boxing. Professional boxing just, it's really hard to like it. It's really hard to like some of the people in it as well. Whereas the Olympic boxing, you know, there was some a lot of Uzbeks and Kazakhs. So about boxers from Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan, a few Russians still there. There was an Irishman who didn't really like a decision going against him, and some of the decisions were, well, I mean, a blind person could have actually seen what was going on more than some of what the judges were doing. A Brazilian won it for the very first time, and some of the young Cubans as well. Oh, there's some good Cuban talent. Whether or not they'll actually go through to the professional ranks is a little bit difficult to say. A couple of Americans, young Americans, oh, I've forgotten his name now, but there's a young one there who Floyd Mayweather was very fond of, a bantamweight.
Shakur.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. Yeah. Yes, that's right. Yeah. He lost in the final and was very, very upset about it. I mean, he was in tears. we couldn't talk to him for a long time because he was devastated. But the thing is with him, he had boxed very well to make it through to the final, and then he boxed negatively. In Olympic boxing, you have to go out and box. You cannot be like in the professionals where you actually hold back and can box negative. That was the thing. And you notice that the people who attacked won. Well, most of the time they won. Whereas he was fighting very well until that final. And then in the final, he just pulled back. It was against a young Cuban as well. And he pulled back and was conservative. That will not win you the points in Olympic boxing. The heavyweight champs between the super heavyweight, it was with the British boxer against the French one. The French one was smart. Again, he knew when to attack. Then some of the female boxing as well. Oh, my goodness. That was some top boxing. There really is some top talent out there. Some people don't always like the female boxing, but gee, it was good. A couple of French women coming through there, and a couple of Americans as well. So, it gives you hope when you see it. But then, unfortunately, as soon as you see the dollar sign and the professionalism comes in, that's when you just lose all hope. Because at the moment, I actually don't see that much in the professional ranks. That really thrills me.
Yeah, now, Dave, I was mentioning Shakur Stevenson. Of course, he's one of the up-and-coming boxers. And, you know, you're talking about the judging and the scoring, which is a travesty, especially when you're talking about Olympic sports. You would have thought that Shakur would have learned the lesson from Roy Jones Jr. back in the day, because the same thing happened with him as far as, you know, kind of waiting till the end, you know, to showcase. But as you were saying, you know, box as if you're trying to score as many points as possible. And that was surprising. And you're right, Shakur took it very hard, as I believe he got the bronze. Is that correct?
He got the, well, he got the silver in the end, I think. It seems like a long time ago. It wasn't, but it does seem like a long time ago. But, you know, he came out with a medal, but, you know, he was disappointed. And I think, you know, okay, that's fine, be disappointed, but, you know, learn from what you've done. But he was asked, what is he going to do now? Is he going to be professional? Is Floyd Mayweather signed him up? And he said, well, he couldn't say at this stage. You know, he was more just thinking about his, you know, what he'd done and what he can learn from and that sort of thing. But, you know, you have to be, they changed the judging system. It used to be on the amount of hits that you got, but now it's on the hits, how aggressive you are, and I don't know how you measure that. Then it was also on your style or something like that. And I'm thinking, I who cares about style? I mean, did Muhammad Ali have the best style in the world? Did Roberto Duran have the best style in the world? No. But did they win? Yes.
Yes.
You know, so the judging is still not right. There was a lot of decisions. There was one against an Uzbek who just tunneled, absolutely annihilated a Russian, and they gave it to the Russian and were like, you know, the Sports Illustrated journalist, boxing journalist, very experienced man, he looked at me and said, this just doesn't make sense. So that, you know, no matter where we go in boxing, professional or Olympic, there's a lot of decisions which don't make sense. And that was one of the things that sort of stunned me. But the good part about it was that the fighters were genuine fighters going out there, not for the money. They were going out there to win a medal.
Dave Worsley joining us from the Paralympic Games in Rio. Now, Dave, in all of the matches and games that you've covered, the events you've covered in the last 2 months, what are some of your favorite stories about the athletes?
You know, and at the Paralympics, there are so many stories. And you know, there's one Paralympian who became a disabled athlete because they were attacked by a bear. Now, that is something you just can't comprehend. you know, there's a lot of stories that it's funny for people who come to the Paralympics for the first time. For a lot of them, it's quite difficult to actually comprehend and sort of take in athletes with, I guess, limb deficiencies and lots of maybe not able-bodied in so many different ways. And it takes a lot to take that in. I've been to a Paralympics before in Beijing when I worked with one of the teams. And, you know, to me, though, it still amazes me that, wow, there are some fantastic athletes doing some fantastic things, and whether they're able-bodied or not. I mean, in tonight's 1,500 meters, four of the athletes, and we've got to remember they weren't fully sighted, beat the winning time of the Olympics just recently. They beat the 1,500. Yeah, that's just amazing. And these guys have limited or really limited sight, yet they still went under the time that the 1,500 meters at the Olympics was.
Yeah,
you know, this is something that just blows you away.
Yeah, I believe that time was 3:350 or something. It was really slow. I know that, but that's amazing though that type of a time was run in the Paralympics. That's awesome. That's awesome stuff.
Yeah, that's the sort of stuff that's coming up, you know, all the time, and you just sort of go roll with it and go, wow, these guys are pretty amazing. And there's a difference between covering the Olympics and the Paralympics. The Paralympics is a little bit more, I'll put it, a bit more chilled out. We'll be working around, you know, there's still pressure on people, and whether it's the athletes, whether it's the media or whoever, the intensity of the Olympics is something that really gets you, whereas the relaxed nature of the Paralympics is great. And the crowds have turned out for most of the venues here, for the Paralympics, and it's more of a family feel, that grandma's going along with the grandkids and, you know, auntie and uncle and things like that. And so it's a great atmosphere, whereas the Olympics was a bit more corporate and the tickets were obviously a bit more expensive as well. So you didn't really get that family atmosphere, you know, quite to the same extent. Certainly there were some great crowds, but what I'm seeing here at the Paralympics is more of a family kind of picnic atmosphere.
Now, Dave, what do you find more impressive, the athlete that's at the super high level on the world stage like a Usain Bolt, or the Paralympic athlete that has gone through so many more challenges, but they're still at that elite level?
I mean, you have to appreciate Bolt. You have to appreciate his the way he wins and smiles and looks at the Canadian runner who came second. You know, that they're almost talking during the race, and you have to appreciate that. And the one thing for me is I hope, there's two people that I really hope never get caught for drugs. You know, Roger Federer and Usain Bolt, because that would just ruin sport for me if they got caught, because they are the pinnacle of sport, and, you know, Bolt is just doing everything. He's just amazing, and so I really hope that everything is pure and clean there, because, that would just destroy sport for me personally. But, yeah, watching him is fantastic. And then, you know, watching some of the athletes around the Paralympics is obviously fantastic as well. So I love it all.
Dave Worsley joining us here on The Double, New Zealand's finest and traveling the globe. Now, man, you have mentioned Roger Federer in tennis, and of course, we'd be removed if we didn't talk about the U.S. Open. One of the gems for you, and I'm sure getting the chance to see Novak Djokovic actually get upset by Stan Wawrinka. I believe I'm pronouncing his name right. Stan Wawrinka. That was one of the better matches as of recent years, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, there was a couple of great finals. Obviously, Stan Wawrinka beating Novak Djokovic, and then in the women's final was a great final. Angelique Kerber beating Carolina Pliskova. And Pliskova will win a Grand Slam within the next couple of years. I can almost guarantee that. But seeing Kerber take over the world number one ranking, she deserves it. She's earned it. She won the Australian Open, runner-up at Wimbledon, runner-up at the Olympics, and then winning the U.S. Open. Well, that to me says you're number one, and good on her for doing that. Serena Williams getting knocked out by Pliskova in the semifinals. But look, a young player coming through, Pliskova is on the rise. And perhaps there is a bit more competition for Serena Williams if she decides to play next year, which I'm sure she will. So we saw two great finals there, and I think everybody can be impressed with that. We saw a roof that closes and really amplifies the noises as well, because that court, Arthur Ashe Court, is so loud now. It's unbelievable. It was loud before. Now it's just crazy loud, and you've got to love it. They've done a lot of good things at the U.S. TA at the U.S. Open. They get criticized a lot, they've done a lot of really great things, particularly this year. So, you know, good on them. And we saw some great tennis in finals.
Yeah, Angie Kerber is definitely an up-and-coming, a number two seed. Carolina Pliskova did a great job, as you were saying, upsetting Serena Williams. Now, was Serena just – was it just – it wasn't her week, or was the competition just that great? I know Carolina is, you know, an up-and-coming.
Yeah, no, the Pliskova, it's a tough one to say sometimes. Look, she's a good player. That's the thing, you know. And she knew how to beat Serena. Serena had a few niggling injuries, which didn't help in the end. Yeah, she is getting a little bit older. But, you know, she's going to lose at times. And, yeah, it just happens to be that she's lost a couple of times this year in the big ones. And the semifinals, she hasn't passed the semifinals at the U.S. Open for, well, I think it's about 3 or 4 years now. So, yeah, it's a little one of those things. Last year she was looking at winning the overall Grand Slam and lost. And this year, again, big match there. Anyway, she'll be back. If she wants to play next year, she'll be back and she'll win more than one Grand Slam. But, you know, there's some new people in town and, you know, it means that there's some good tennis around. Kerber's a good number one. Pliskova's coming up. You've got Muguruza. You've got Serena Williams still there. So you still have some good talent in women's tennis. And I think, you know, we're in for a good year in 2017 when it comes around again.
Now, Dave, when you get back home, you've been gone 2 months. What are the first things you're looking forward to doing?
Well, some decent blooming coffee. The coffee in Brazil is crap. when I was in New York, I had my, you know, I had my coffee places that I'd go to that I really love there. But, yeah, I'm looking for some decent coffee. So after 2.5 months, some good coffee. Got a whole lot of cafes just around the corner from where I live. Now I've got to go to Sydney a couple of weeks later for some other work. So, yeah, some good coffee, and I'll say hello to my cat as well. So that'll be fun.
Well, Dave, get on up to Seattle. Of course, you know, Starbucks in Seattle's best, and Tully is all here in the Pacific Northwest.
You mentioned the worst word in the universe, Starbucks. I am the anti-Starbucks person.
Uh-oh.
I'll have to try it in Seattle and see what it's like. But everywhere else, well, I don't know.
You know, Dave, for NBA basketball reasons, I have to agree. That's for sure. Dave Worsley, thank you so much for your time, your insight. Great talking to you once again here on The Double. Safe travels home and enjoy it when you get a break.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
There goes Dave Worsley from Rio covering all things Paralympics. Previous to that, the Olympics and the U.S. Open in New York.
Yeah, man, it's always good having Dave on. You know, I wish I had the... You still on there, Dave? Yeah. Okay. We just lost Dave there, but yeah, it's great having him on. I meant to ask him. Man, I had a couple more questions to ask him, but I know his time is short and a different time zone, so we'll have to do that a little bit later. But it's always good having him on.
Yeah, it's definitely getting late for Dave in Rio, 4 hours ahead. So it is currently 11:33 p.m. But as I know, working with Dave previously in New Zealand and Australia, he is a night owl, works late into the night. So I don't think we interrupted his schedule too much there at the Paralympics.
Man, he's having a lot of fun. I can tell you that back and forth. And, you know, I'm thinking that all three phases that he's gone through in this past couple of months, meaning the Olympics, the U.S. Open and the Paralympics, I mean, they all bring different joys, I'm sure. And so to get a chance to experience all of those is, I'm sure, is a treat for him.
I'm gonna hop some tags, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is awesome.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours.
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Let's go back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big time guest number two tonight, and that is none other than Joseph McGinnis of United Games and the United Games app. Joseph, thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Excited to be back with y'all.
Man, Joseph, now, the last you were on the show here, I mean, there has been some tremendous things going on, you know, some moving and shaking. I know that when we talked about United Games a couple of weeks ago, it had already been in full swing as far as the development is concerned and the amount of players that continue to find out about United Games. But to this day, I mean, it's at an all-time high, and I'm getting this pitch and this fervor from people in the area here that have already signed up as players for the United Games. This has to be a great, great step moving in the right direction.
Yeah, it is. We're seeing people that are coming into this that are really big names. I mean, Manny Pacquiao the other day, I mean, came into this. I mean, that's, which is absolutely insane. You know, first you got Evander Holyfield, you know, then you get Manny Pacquiao coming into this that sees the vision. And is excited about what this is going to, you know, this is going to do. I mean, yesterday we took a team down to CenturyLink, and the buzz there around the Seahawks and a bunch of people getting pre-registered for this game, this live interactive sports app, is going to let us experience this in a whole different way. And so the buzz is just definitely there. It is going to make national news. We have over a million, combined pre-registered players and affiliates. And so we're ready for this thing to launch in October. We're just really super stoked and excited.
And you know what the cool part is it isn't gender specific. And what I mean by that, I was talking to my mother today and she was mentioning the fact that people are coming up to her about United Games and being so excited about it. And I believe on your one of your Facebook threads, you had mentioned that none other than Beverly Sherman, and that is Richard Sherman's mom, who is also a part of United Games as well, man. So, I mean, this is for, you know, men and women of all ages.
You know, Beverly Sherman is, I'll tell you what, I mean, you know exactly how her son got the way he did and how he's, class all the way, and that's exactly how she is, and tough as nails as well. And she's caught the vapors, you know, she's definitely caught the vision of United Games, and she's just a complete beast and is just registering everybody, you know, because they're so excited about it because she realizes that it's going to give everybody a different way to be able to interact with one another when it comes to the game. She's just as passionate about her Hawks and as football as, you know, anybody that you're going to find. So we're really excited to have her.
Now, Joseph, what is most exciting to you about this United Games app?
It's really the social aspect of it more than anything else. I mean, I see people go on Facebook all the time and, you know, talk, you know, junk to each other, you know, during the game on Facebook. And let's be honest, you know, like probably what, 50-60% of maybe your Facebook friends, and I'm being generous when I say this, is probably into sports or into football or in that specific team. The awesome part about this is that you're going to be able to interact with sports fans from all over, especially with your team. If you're a Raiders fan, you're going to have a bunch of Raiders fans that are going to be competing with one another and competing in the game. Or, you know, you're going to be able to compete against that team, you know, whatever, if your Raiders are playing the Denver Broncos, then you're going to be able to talk to Denver Broncos fans and, you know, talk smack with them. I mean, but you're going to have a lot of like-minded people that love sports and enjoy sports just as much as you do, as opposed to a huge mixture that you get on Facebook. So the biggest thing that I'm excited for is the social aspect of it. And not only that, but the real-time statistics that you're going to be able to get along with the predictions that you're going to be able to make during every drive and the competitive nature of the point system and just all the things that are developing in this, is going to give us a different way to play and a different way to view the game. Even watching opening weekend in the NFL, I was just thinking about how the gameplay is going to be, and it made me watch the game in a completely different way than I've ever watched it before.
Is it safe to say that the launch of the United Games app is, for the sports fan, what Pokemon Go was to the, not only kids but adults alike?
Bigger, okay? Because you're talking about people who people love sports. I mean, Pokemon is a, you know, it's a fad. Sports have stood the test of time. There have been wars that have been fought, and sports still have gone on. Okay, so I mean, you're talking about things. You're talking about something that has been ancient. You know, from the Olympiads to everything. People cheer. They love. They come together behind their teams, and they're passionate about it. So you are going to get a huge global phenomenon. You think NFL football fans are crazy? Have you ever gone over to Europe and actually watched soccer? I mean, soccer has 3.5 billion fans, you know, worldwide that watch the World Cup. I mean, that's way larger than the Super Bowl could ever dream of attracting. And so, I mean, we're excited for every sports fan, not just NFL, but, you know, Major League Soccer, baseball, basketball. This app is going to include all those fans eventually as those seasons roll out.
Joseph McGinnis of the United Games joining us here on the Double. Now, Joseph, the big launch is supposed to be, it sounds like it's in October, so the middle of fall, or actually, yeah, right smack dab in the middle of fall. Now, football season is underway as well. Will this interrupt anything as far as, you know, the continuity of the football season?
I'm glad you asked that question, because here's the way I think about it. Right now, you know, fantasy will almost be in the middle of the season by the time it launches. And, you know, some people have given up on fantasy because it's like, I've picked, you know, this team and I'm just getting creamed. And so all those people that are in fantasy, they're going to get – this is a compliment to fantasy, just so you know. Because fantasy, you can't play live in the game. And really, what United Games is trying to do more than anything is they're trying to bring out a product that is going to be phenomenal, because you just have a few seconds to be able to capture somebody and without glitch or hitch. So that's what they're doing right now. So they're definitely beta testing everything within the real games that are transpiring right now. And once they are comfortable with releasing it, they're going to release a game that we're all going to be proud of and we're going to love for years to come. So, no, it is not going to interrupt it. What it's going to do, it's going to enhance it, and it's even going to build more momentum, you know, when we get into the crucial part of the NFL season where we start separating the men from the boys.
Now, Joseph, I'm excited about it. Of course, I have gone full-fledged into being an affiliate and, you know, having my brother show this to me, and, of course, you talking with me about United Games. This is definitely the thing to do as far as interactive sports is concerned. Now, I'm doing a pick'em league. I'm doing fantasy league right now. And with the understanding that United Games is right around the corner, it just doesn't seem the same as far as doing fantasy because, of course, you mentioned the Raiders. That's my team. I do not like picking, you know, people from other teams. And now, you know, when I'm doing that for fantasy league and knowing that United Games is right around the corner, I can't wait. I cannot wait for United Games to start, because then I don't feel like I'm being disloyal to my favorite team.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. You know, quick story is I went to one of my first fantasy drafts. I didn't partake in it, but, you know, they wanted to hear about the United Games and how to be a player and what it was all about. And the interesting part is when I went and was a part of that, it was fascinating how many people were doing this live. It was what was a snake draft, I think it was called. And it was like, it was just phenomenal, the energy in there. And this gal had been doing it for 5 years, and she says, you know what, I never watched football the way I watch it now when I played fantasy. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, well, you ain't seen nothing yet, because literally you're going to be able to interact with your favorite team in a way that you've never been able to interact with them. And not only that, but you will be able to interact with other fans, either like-minded fans banding together to, like, you know, talk junk with the opposing, you know, fans that are going to be within the app. So it's just going to be a real fun environment. And you're right. It is going to change the way that we watch and interact with sports forever. So I am totally excited, and I agree with you 100%.
Now I want to try something out here. I know, Sean, you have a couple more questions. I do want to try something out. Our engineer, Doug, we're going to put you to work here, my friend. I want to open up the phone lines, and if any of our listeners want to know more about United Games, and this is something that you would like to get started, because this is the new interactive thing for sports, I'm going to open up the phone line, and when you call in, you'll talk to Doug, our engineer, and all you have to do is tell him, I'm in. Just say, I'm in, leave your name, your email address, and then we'll send you the information. The phone lines are 888-429-5471. Again, that is 888-429-5471. Call in, say, I'm in, leave your name, in your email or your phone number, whichever one is better for you, and we will get you started in United Games right now.
Well, you know, they actually also, Sean, to piggyback on that, what they want to do is to get registered properly, you know, and the company is going to give somebody, they're going to give everybody that pre-registers, they're going to give you something special when the app launches. So you definitely don't want to miss out on that. You would definitely want to be in on it.
Yes,
and give your
yes.
cell phone number and your email, and that way you can get pre-registered properly. Make sure that you get that special prize or pre-registration prize that they're going to give, and it's a surprise. But it's from what I hear from corporate, it's going to be pretty significant as far as you know, getting pre-registered. It's definitely something you want to do.
Now, Joseph, if anybody is listening right now in the Puget Sound area, you've got a couple different events going in different parts of the region, but people could get to right now to get more information, to hobnob with you, Beverly Sherman, and the like. Fundraisers going on. Where can people go right now if they're driving around looking for more info on United Games?
Well, Beverly Sherman's actually having a benefit right now for, you know, cancer, one of her benefits. You know, with her, she, her twin sister had, died from cancer, the way I understand it. So, she created this, foundation, and she's at Patterson's West right now. So, if you want to, she's very approachable. You want to ask her about United Games or, you know, how that whole thing works. Believe me, she'll be more than happy to share that with you. So at Patterson West and Federal Way, I just got done doing a rally. At 6:30, but we do them every Monday, 6:30 at 707 or 709 River Road, depending upon the size of the crowd. See, they're right next to each other, 707 or 709 River Road in Puyallup, as well as 9:30 on Saturday to, you know, hear about the live interactive sports app. Also, you can go on YouTube and see more about United Games and things of that nature. They have a player video that, you know, you could be able to see the gameplay and how the app is going to look. It's pretty impressive.
Now, Joseph, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I understand correctly, you get to basically attempt to be Nostradamus for the sports world and predict the next play, the next score, that type of thing in whatever sporting event you're watching.
Yeah, so it's that's a very good question. So, every sport's going to be different because obviously the action's going to be different in every single one of them. So with football, the nice part is before the series begins, you're going to be able to predict everything that happens in that series. So, you know, from are they going to get a touchdown? Are they going to punt it? Are they going to get a field goal? Are they going to get a turnover? What are they going to do? And then, some more high level questions, through an algorithm that's built in from these genius app builders, Mark Mongi, Jesse Merle, and Ben Eggett, who have a robust resume. They're going to be able to make predictions and not interrupt your watching of the game, but have you even more so paying attention to the action to be able to rack up points and see how right you were as far as what things are going to happen on that drive.
Now, let me play devil's advocate. There's always somebody that thinks the world isn't round. So how much time will this predictive measures in the app take from, say, viewing? Is there a chance people can miss a play, or I missed the pick six in football because I had my face in my phone trying to predict the next score?
That's a very good question, and that's why the United Games really went from doing a play-by-play type prediction to a drive type prediction. Okay, or you know, when there's a timeout, maybe a bonus question will pop up. What do you think is going to happen in this next play? And that's what's going to really prevent you from taking your eyes off of the action, is because they don't want to be intrusive while the action is going on. They want to be able to complement and enhance your experience as a sports fan. That's their goal, and that's why they're doing it the way they are, which is absolutely ingenious, and I absolutely love it because, let's be honest, you know, I want to, when there's downtime, to be doing something that gives me interaction with the game. But when the game is on and the action's playing, I want to pay attention to that and not my phone.
Joseph McGinnis joining us here on The Double. And Joseph, we thank you for coming on here and talking to us about the best interactive sports app coming out. And that's going to be in October, I believe, United Games. Hey, I just got a question for you, man. How you feeling yesterday about the Kansas City Chiefs coming from behind and beating those San Diego Chargers, my friend?
That is what I'm talking about. I did a rally. I was doing a player acquisition out in CenturyLink. So I was obviously in between getting players pre-registered with about 15 affiliates, and I was watching sneaking peeks in the game. When I saw 21-3 at halftime, I said, "You got to be kidding me!" I mean, honestly, that kind of put a damper in my day. And then the next thing I look up, it was tied and going to overtime. So I was absolutely stoked, and I couldn't have predicted that, okay? I was about to throw in the towel. I'll be honest with you. After 21-3, I was like, man, the offense just isn't clicking, and they really showed heart and what they're all about. So I'm excited, you know, about this season with the Chiefs, brother.
Man, some great things happening in week one and overhead. I'm sorry, overhead. At Arrowhead.
Overhead.
Arrowhead, wow. Stadium in Kansas
City. That's right, over everybody's head.
Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City. Of course, Alex Smith with the option keep going into the end zone. Shades of Utah back in his old college days. And, of course, keeping one, Joseph McGinnis, keeping the gray hairs from coming out just one more week, my friend.
Absolutely, brother. I 100% agree. And also my middle son, who isn't even from Kansas City, was, you know, one of the had the biggest smile on his face when I came home. He was a Chiefs fan just like his daddy.
There you
go. Well, Joseph, I don't know how we missed each other at CenturyLink. I didn't notice on Facebook that you were there, and I was there myself working for CBS, so we should have been able to hook up, but next time, brother, next time.
Oh, 100%, man. 100%.
Well, Joseph, thank you for coming on, man. Of course, we're going to be in contact in the coming days. Again, we keep those lines open. I'm going to talk with Doug on the break and see what those numbers look like. But Joseph McGinnis, United Games, thanks for coming on, brother. We're going to have you on again.
I appreciate that. Definitely want to, you know, be on when this darn thing, you know, right before it launches. Right after it launches, you know, go over all the gameplay and how much fun we're all going to have in this this memorable NFL season like no other season that we've ever had. I'm looking forward to it.
You better believe it, man. And, hey, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it. Sean, you guys are awesome. You know, get in the game, guys. You will not regret it. You know, call in, say I'm in, and get into the best game that you have ever seen in live interactive sports.
There goes Joseph McGinnis.
We're in stereo. Take it, Sean.
There goes Joseph McGinnis, United Games extraordinaire, bringing you the best in interactive sports apps. And again, that number, I'm going to throw that out again, 888-429-5471. That is 888-429-5471. Call in to our engineer. Tell him you're in. Give them your name and your email or your phone number, and we will get you started. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to talk about that famous and super exciting week number one in the NFL football season. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on The Double with the Double S Express.
Come here.
Guys, are you tired of being tired? Frustrated because it seems impossible to lose belly fat? If you're looking for a solution, then listen to Mark.
I had fantastic results with the Andro 400 Max. Probably lost 35 pounds. And more impressive than that was the inches I lost off of my belly and my waist. And the increased energy is fantastic. I'll be totally honest. I tried a different product and I wasn't happy with the different product. You guys are considerably cheaper than the other brand, and I can really feel the difference.
Andro 400 Max, the extra strength, all-natural testosterone booster. The safe, easy, and affordable way to gain energy and lose stubborn belly fat. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Feel and look like a new man. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Everybody get up. Everybody, hey, hey. Tell me, if you can't hear what I'm trying to say.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express here on BBS Radio. Sean Wally with Sean Boyd. Sean, it's been an excellent show, but man, we have barely touched on the NFL, which has not one but two games tonight to kick off Monday Night Football. Of course, we started the show talking about your Raiders. Let's finish that. Man, the Raiders got the win. For a while, it looked a little dicey, but hey, no quitting that team. Derek Carr, Amari Cooper and company did what needed to be done.
Yeah, you know, and that's to start out the season 1-0, which is something that has eluded the Raiders for quite some time. And so, of course, it's important to get off to a good start, and the Raiders did just that with the win. And so, you know, they look forward to playing at home this weekend. Yours truly will be there working for CBS as the Atlanta Falcons come into town. And so this should be a fun one again for the Raiders, you know, to see if they, you know, can actually repeat what happened the week before. Now, for you up in the Pacific Northwest, as you had mentioned to Joseph just a minute ago, you had worked for CBS at the Seattle Seahawks game, Miami Dolphins, man. And so, man, that was a close one, a nail biter, but the Seahawks wound up pulling that one off.
Well, you know, CBS wanted the ratings, and they definitely got them with the close contest. And really, man, it's like the week one jitters for each offense. Granted, you've got really good defenses on both sides, and that Miami D is really good, especially on the front line where they've added Ndamukong Suh, who inadvertently stepped on Russell's ankle, and it twisted and looked bad. But thankfully, Seahawk fans can breathe a sigh of relief. The MRI and x-ray were negative, just a lot of swelling. So he may get a day or two off during the week and work on icing and rehab. But he says there's no way he will not be in LA, which he can be in LA to take on the Rams, but there's a difference in actually being on the field. But all things are pointing to him playing on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, that was just one of those freak little accidents or injuries there. And you had mentioned one of Ndamukong Suh being involved on that. When you think of that, you think of, you know, possible dirty play. But he was just going after the quarterback. And, you know, when Russell fell down, he tripped and clipped his ankle, it looked like. And, you know, it sounds like it's a sprain. So, you know, I know that the reports are coming out that, you know, things sound good. And, you know, you hope he gets back on the field here. But it is a day-to-day thing. And so if he's on the field in the next couple of days of practice, you know, that would be a great thing, of course.
Of course, Russell having to be the comedian, and he mentioned post-game that he had to show everybody what it will be like when he's 42, 43, 44 years old, still playing quarterback in Seattle, just not as mobile.
Yeah, and he looked very immobile at times, and, you know, he's a headsy quarterback. He's more cerebral than you think, even though he is fleet of foot. He still found ways to make completions. And, of course, you know, the biggest completion of all late in the game get the, you know, go-ahead touchdown, you know, for the Seahawks. You know, right now the Seahawks are, you know, there's an upside to their victory because, of course, you're saying Russell Wilson being injured, he can, you know, get himself healed up in the next week. Of course, Jimmy Graham working his way back in. You know, there were some sightings of him late in the game, and he did a great job once he had the couple of plays in as well. And, of course, Thomas Rawls is working himself back in. So as soon as the Seahawks are at full strength, you know, maybe the offense will have a little bit more oomph going in and putting some points on the board. It was just a little scary in week one, which there's a lot of adrenaline going on both sides, whether you're home or away. But Seattle did a great job in pulling out the victory.
Here's my issue with the Seahawks and their final drive. When they needed it, they went out and got it. The score to take the lead, the defense held, Seattle wins the game. Why not bring that same mentality from the jump? Because we all know, Pete Carroll preaches, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And definitely they finished when they had to at the end of the game. Got the winning touchdown. But if you do that for 60 minutes, you should blow teams out of the water if you can run a drive like you did in that final minute, 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah, you know, in simple forms, you wish it was that easy. But, you know, when you're talking about X's and O's, offense and defense, you know, it's a little more complex. So when you have the lead, as the Miami Dolphins did, You're trying to play to not make mistakes. You don't want to overplay to hurt yourself for a big game breaker that will break the backs of your defense. You want to try to have the offense make a mistake. So you go into these base defenses and you try to play it safe. And at the same time, what it looks like is it looks like the offense is just going to, you know, it's dominating, which they are up and down the field. And then when you get within the 20s, well, then that's when the real football starts to be played. Now, of course, you know, the Dolphins were doing a pretty good job on that last drive. I believe there was a fourth down that Seattle had to go for in order to get that first down, and they actually came up with it. And so, you know, what I'm getting at is there's different situations. So Seattle can't just turn it on. You think, well, why don't they do that from the beginning? Well, they can't. There are different situations involved for both the offense and the defense to try to figure out their strategies.
And you've got another set of 11 guys on defense doing everything they can to stop what the offense is trying to do. And that's the case in every football game. And so it's not, as you're saying, not that easy. And you can't make it necessarily look that easy for 60 entire minutes. Hopefully over the course of the game, you make adjustments, figure out what each team is doing, and try to find ways to nitpick and find holes in that defense. And apparently that's what the Seahawks were able to do when it mattered most.
Yeah, you know, if I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm thinking, okay, I want to keep the ball in the middle of the field. I don't want the Seahawks to get out of bounds. You know, let the clock be in our favor. Let them use their timeouts. So I'm going to call certain defenses to make sure that that ball gets to the middle of the field. Unfortunately, when you do things like that, it winds up, you know, the offense winds up getting big chunks of yardage, and it makes it, again, look easy. Like, why couldn't we do that all along? So it's a chess match, you know, and trying to figure out, you know, who's going to do what, who's going to flinch first. But Seattle did what they needed to do, and they got that win.
You know, Sean, it was great to spend, as you mentioned, I was able to work for CBS Sports for 3 days over the weekend for the football game in Seattle. And it was great to get to spend time with broadcasters that we know, work with, and look up to. Ian Eagle on play-by-play, Evan Washburn down on the field as the sideline reporter, and, of course, Hall of Fame quarterback Dan Fouts. And, you know, they're all great guys. They're fun. They like to enjoy life, joke around, have a great time, not only while they're working, but off camera, of course, as well. And got a chance to get to the VMAC Seahawks headquarters on Friday with them, and then Saturday get them to the Dolphins Hotel, where the Dolphins actually stayed in Bellevue at the Westin. So a nice place for the Dolphins to relax and check out the sights of Bellevue there on Lake Washington. And it was just a lot of fun. And, you know, a couple days were longer than expected, but it all worked out in the end. And it was a great time. And hopefully you'll get those guys at some point down in Oakland or San Francisco. I know this next weekend they are off to Pittsburgh, of all places. But, you know, at least two of those guys, Ian Eagle and Evan Washburn, should be on the show in the coming weeks.
Well, yeah, of course, Ian and I worked together in the Super Bowl in Santa Clara this past year. And, of course, we had a chance to exchange information. So, yes, Ian Eagle will be on the show here on The Double. And so we look forward to having him on, hopefully before he gets into that hectic NCAA basketball schedule that he goes into right after the football season. Now, Sean, you had mentioned the Miami Dolphins actually staying in Bellevue and got a chance to work out a couple of days at the University of Washington on Montlake, which you will be at, I believe, this weekend. Of course, you were working in the Pac-12s as well. You worked in Pullman a couple of weeks ago, and now you will be at the University of Washington on Montlake, and that should be a lot of fun as those Dogs. I don't know what they're ranked this week. I know they're ranked number 8, and so those polls will be coming out. I don't know. Did the polls come out already? What are they ranked right now?
Oh, yeah, they come out typically on Sunday. I saw the headlines. I didn't notice that they moved any. We can pull it up here quickly between you and myself. But yeah, you're talking the work for the Pac-12. That's ironically my first shot at camera on the Pac-12 network was supposed to be this coming Saturday, the 17th, in Seattle, Portland State at Washington. And let's see here. 2 weeks ago, about Wednesday, I get an email from the Pac-12 network. Hey, can you make it to Pullman on Saturday? Sure. What for? I need a cameraman. Oh, wow. Okay. So instead of having two and a half weeks to prepare, get ready, and get my mind right, nope, it's go time now. And I had my first handheld camera experience on the field. And ironically, I was the only handheld, which normally, for those that don't know, there's one handheld on each side of the field to not only cover the fans, the teams, but get shots from each angle, each side. And, you know, I had to do both. So it was double duty and a great way to throw me into the fire. And all signs point to me being on Alaska Airlines Field at Husky Stadium on Saturday as they take on Portland State.
Well, man, I'm definitely jealous of that. Of course, man, everybody knows, you know, my ties with, you know, a few colleges that I have frequented. And, you know, but there's none that I love more. And, of course, I did not go to the University of Washington, but there's no university that I love more than the University of Washington. Man, those Dogs, there's something about them, you know, growing up in the Pacific Northwest in Puget Sound. You know, it's just been one of those things, and so I'm happy, so happy that the University of Washington is doing their thing back to where they need to be, which is on top. Looks like they have a real good chance of winning the Pac-12 as well if they continue to do what they're doing. Now, Sean Wiley, we've talked about the Oakland Raiders, the Seattle Seahawks, and you were talking about week one, those current games that were going on, and, man, the first game of Monday night, Pittsburgh handling business 38-16 over the Washington Redskins. And, of course, the Redskins are one of those teams that are supposed to be, you know, at the top of the NFC. And I know, again, it's week one, but what an excellent job Ben Roethlisberger did. D'Angelo Williams, 2 touchdowns rushing. And you had Antonio Brown doing his thing for the Pittsburgh Steelers with 2 touchdowns as well, over 100 yards receiving. Man, Pittsburgh looks like they're going to be one of those tough ones in the NFL this year.
Well, it is only 1 week, but yeah, the Steelers have been there in the past 5-10 years. They've been a team to be reckoned with, and for those that are Steelers fans, you'll be happy to know, and you already know this, the Steelers will be there this year, and the AFC, you know, we'll see what happens. There's a few good teams one or two great teams, and the rest will just play it out on the field, because the ball doesn't always bounce the way you think it will. But week one from the Steelers, they're looking like they're firing on all cylinders. But you also have to look at the opponent they played, and the Redskins aren't exactly top tier in the NFL.
Well, yeah, you know, as you're saying, it is week one, but, you know, I can't take anything away from the Pittsburgh Steelers. I watched that game. They look like they're a team that's going to be loaded. And, of course, that was D'Angelo Williams at running back. And not to mention when Bell gets back, that they're just going to be that much stronger in the backfield. And so it looks like the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to try to make some bigger waves than they did last year, you know, missing out on the postseason. Of course, the second game of Monday Night Football we've got going on right now, and that's down in Santa Clara with the San Francisco 49ers up 7-0 on the Los Angeles Rams, Sean Wally, and that's the LA Rams. This is their first NFL game since, I believe, 1994, and it looks like San Francisco is trying to ruin that party.
Well, it's a key NFC West battle early in the season. So after 1 week and after this game tonight, there will be only two of the four NFC West teams starting off with a victory. Whichever team wins, the Rams or the Niners, will join the Seahawks at 1-0. Of course, the Cardinals losing a squeaker at home to the New England Patriots, the Tom Brady-less Patriots on Sunday Night Football. And Sean, you mentioned LA Rams, 1994. Their final home game was Christmas Eve, 1994, the LA Coliseum. Guess what? Your chance to be a part of history. Sunday, the LA Rams return to the LA Coliseum. Hopefully there's been an update or two, thanks to USC, and maybe the new LA Rams have put a little bit of money in the hopper to upgrade that stadium just a little bit. An iconic stadium, the LA Coliseum. Their first game back, guess who they host, Mr. Boyd? One wild guess. Go for it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I'm sure it's a team that you spend 90% of your breath talking about, so it has to be the Seattle Seahawks going against the Los Angeles Rams.
Ironic or designed that way, you be the judge. But yes, Russell Wilson on one ankle, and the Seattle Seahawks in LA on Sunday. Tickets are available. Get a hold of me, get a hold of Sean Boyd. We can get you a part of history returning NFL football to the LA Coliseum. And hey, one Richard Sherman playing professionally for the first time, the closest to home he's going to get growing up in Compton.
Well, yeah, that should be a fun game. The Los Angeles Rams getting their home opener against the Seattle Seahawks. There's no better way to have a test than to have, you know, the Seattle Seahawks coming in. So, yeah, man, so that is it for week number one. And, sheesh, all the excitement, the close nail-biting games in week number one. It came down to the final play, I believe, on 8 of the 16 games in week one. And so, you know, we have to buckle up, man. This is going to be a fantastic ride for the 2017 season. And I can't wait, man. Both our teams, the Seattle Seahawks, the Oakland Raiders, have one win under their belts. Of course, the Raiders at home. If you want Oakland Raiders tickets, you can contact yours truly for that as well. So, Mr. Wally, it has been a great show, man. Two awesome guests. Tell our listeners a recap of the show.
Well, Sean, I know you haven't mentioned them in weeks, maybe months, but I want to give a shout to your Oakland A's, scoring two touchdowns and two 2-point conversions, bringing the whooping stick in Kansas City, putting 16 on the Royals.
Oh, my goodness. So I guess we have to. This is Sean Wally's chance to try to tout something about our Pacific Northwest listeners and the Seattle Mariners. Now, I'm going to go on the record.
I mentioned
saying
nothing
this.
Of that. No. We don't have time for this.
Yeah.
No, we could take another hour. Nope.
So, yes, the Oakland A's, you mentioned that game. Why? Because the Kansas City Royals were a half game out from the Seattle Mariners, and that would give them a little bit more breathing room as far as chasing the wild card. Come on, Sean Wally. The people know you better than that. They know you better than that, that you wouldn't just bring out and talk about the Oakland A's unless you had some type of a benefit for your Seattle Mariners. Come on, man. Come on. Come on. Oh, my goodness. Anyways, so.
I'm not worried about the Royals. I'm worried about catching the Yanks and the Tigers because Houston, we're already there. And we play them six more times.
And it's not going to happen because what do I say, Sean Wally?
Nobody cares.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we're going to wrap this show up. Two awesome guests on today. Dave Worsley of New Zealand.
From where?
From New Zealand, spanning the globe.
What?
I said New Zealand?
Where was he talking to us from?
I was getting to that as you're interrupting me. As I'm saying, spanning the globe from Rio back to the United States, back to Rio, as he is journeying around the world doing great things, covering awesome sports. And then we have our second guest, and Joseph McGinnis, promoter for the United Games. Always excited to have Joseph on. And again, we thank you for calling in. For those of you that called in and have mentioned that you want in on the United Games Active Sports app. And so two great guests on today here on The Double, Sean Wally.
Absolutely. It's been fun. It's amazing. All the people that we've been able to be colleagues with and potentially even friends with throughout all of our travels and all of our workings. And, you know, it's with a heavy heart and a somber tone that I have to send a shout out, a rest in peace to a guy that I got to know on the Harlem Globetrotter tour this past year, actually, here in 2016. One of our dancers that we all know as Rocky on Globy Crew, his full name is Rakim Reyes, only 27 years old, of Altaloma, California. Unfortunately, was murdered recently by a 20-year-old, and unfortunately, they found his body in the last few days. And, you know, it's a tough time, not only for those of us that know Rocky from the professional ranks, and he was a easygoing, mild-mannered guy, so who knows what the circumstances were. It doesn't matter. It's done, and thankfully somebody's going to pay. They do have a suspect in custody. It's just tough when the real world hits home, and, you know, somebody that 30, 40 of us on tour hung out with this guy, some more than others, and that this really happened. It's not a movie. It's not a TV show. And unfortunately, a young man's life was cut short.
Yes, and we definitely send condolences out to the Reyes family. And, of course, Rocky being part of the Harlem Globetrotter family, this is something that is that we're going to remember and keep our prayers lifted to Rocky and his family, and hoping and praying that justice prevails. Well, this is
you know what it shows, and it's a reminder. You never know. You never know what you're guaranteed. You never know what the circumstances may arise. You never know what somebody else is thinking. Don't take things for granted. Because unfortunately, as Rocky's family knows, and Rocky now knows from heaven, he didn't know this was happening, or obviously it would not have. And live every moment, every day. You know, when things are bad at work, at home, in your traffic commute, guess what? They could be a lot worse.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, living life to the fullest is something that we always try to do. And you know, yeah, so at this time of heartfelt condolence from the On the Double crew, the Harlem Globetrotters organization, and the Reyes family, you know, in this time as we go off the air here, just make sure that, you know, if you're with your family or your loved ones, just give them a tight hug, a tight squeeze, and love on them a little bit more, and just let them know that you appreciate them that much more. It's been a great show. You know, we had two special guests on, and Dave Worsley and Joe McGinnis. And we've got another show in the wraps here, Mr. Wally. So for Sean Wally in the Pacific Northwest, in the Tri-Cities, actually, I shouldn't say that anymore, from Selah, Washington. From Selah, Washington, Doug Newsom, our engineer in Paradise, California, and yours truly here in the EG Studios in Elk Grove, California. You've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. As we always say, you're not in the game unless you take a shot, and when you take that shot, we hope that it hits nothing but the bottom of the net. This has been a DSX LLC production. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double, Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double, Double S Express.
Yeah, you can be the greatest, you can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest.
You can beat the world, you can beat the war. You can talk the guy, go banging on his door.
You can throw your hands up.